This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown presented by the Sportscast. Today is March 8th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, play Sportscast. Visit us on thesportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1 and check out our app, The Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Hello, my name is Alan West. Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown. Tonight, we are able to have a special guest, Erwin Dudley, former player at the University of Alabama, 2002 SEC Player of the Year, 2019 SEC Legend, and also he was able to play 13 years overseas. How are you doing tonight, Erwin?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me on, and, you know, let's get this basketball rolling.
Yes, sir. And, well, we've made it to the favorite time of the year for college basketball, so now it's just wait to see who survives in advance in the tournaments and then see who makes it in the first eight in. And then we get the whole true tourney going, which I'm curious to see not only who's going to win, but if we get a perfect bracket, because that's nearly impossible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to. That's tough. For somebody, you know, it's. I don't even know. It's probably been done what, maybe once, maybe. But I mean, it's tough to predict all those teams. I think a lot of it is pretty much guessing.
Yes, sir. You're right about that. And speaking of that, today we found out that Jim Boeheim, head coach at Syracuse, has decided to leave after 47 years. And well, when Boeheim won his national championship, you were actually a player at Alabama. So what do you think about Boeheim and being a coach and just how he was able to be as successful as he was?
I mean, it's, you know, like you said, I was in school back when, you know, when he was coaching, when he was at Syracuse, and in the beginning with, you know, when he had Carmelo and all those guys. And so, you know, he really brought some talent in at Syracuse. And, you know, Carmelo was on the team where they won, you know, the national championship. And it for him, I mean, I think it just speaks volume for him to be able to coach not only him, but his family, for him to be able to coach for 47 years. Because coaching is, you know, it takes a lot away from your family. It takes a lot away from you personally. And, you know, for him to be able to do it for 47 years, you know, my hat goes off to him. My question is right there, is he a Hall of Fame coach? Does he go into the, I mean, do you see him as a Hall of Fame coach? I mean, he won one title, but he's been coaching for 47 years.
Actually, I saw that in the Naismith Hall of Fame, he was already enshrined back in 2005.
Yeah, but I'm saying, yeah, that's a long time. 2004, wow, I didn't know that. Okay, but 2005, that's a long time for him. You know, he's still coaching. And you know, Mike Krzyzewski, he was done in what, 30 years? Was it 30 years? I think it was. And for him to be, so for him to be 17 years longer. That's a lot. It really is. And then, you know, like I said, it's Syracuse. And Syracuse is definitely their basketball school. So I think that being said, I think that, you know, he had a lot of resources too as well to support him because, you know, when you speak of Syracuse, you speak of basketball. You never, I mean, every now and then football, but it's mostly basketball. And so, like I said, he's had a lot of talent to come through there. And, you know, he's been able to put together a lot of successful seasons.
That is true. And the other thing that you and me talked about before we came on is that even though he's doing very well in the ACC, we'll always think about Syracuse back when they were in the Big East.
Big East, yes, yes, yes. I think it was just something about them playing in the Big East. To me, I just feel like it was just. I mean, I just still remember that as always. Even when I watched games, watched them play after they joined the ACC, it just still felt different to me seeing them in ACC versus the Big East.
That is true, just because I don't know about you. I always remember how he had a few classic matchups against John Thompson. So, I mean, in Georgetown, so that's one of the main things you always think about for the Big East. I mean, even though you had Jim Calhoun at UConn as well, but you would always see Syracuse as a team that, even if they didn't always have the best players, the way that Boeheim would coach them, he would make sure they were always well-prepared and they were ready to play.
Correct.
All right. So last week, I was able to do my picks for the early tournaments. And, well, let's see how good or bad I did. All right. So we'll start with the A-Sun. I picked Liberty. They turned out to be the runner-up against Kennesaw State. They lost by a point. 67-66.
I know Ryan Christen. I know he doesn't like that.
Not at all. I mean, it was a great game, but apparently the final foul shot was shot with under a second left to go in the game.
I think it was like 0.6 or 0.8 seconds or something like that. I think when it comes down to situations like that, it's tough, referees to officiate calls like that because, again, when you're coming down to the end of a game and, some people and coaches, they teach it to some, some of their players kind of at the end of the game, foul. The referee, they may not call it. But I say that you still have to think officiating. They have to officiate the same way from the beginning of the game to the very end, no matter, no matter if they foul and don't foul, you got to call it the way it's supposed to be called. You can't, base it off, it's point. It's 1 second on the clock. Well, I'm going to let them play. I'm not going to call it. I mean, if it's a obvious foul, then you got to blow your whistle. That's just how I look at it.
Yep. Well, Liberty did come up short against Kansas State, but they still had a good year. Let's see. Next up, we had the Sun Belt Conference, and I picked Southern Miss, and they did not make championships. So obviously that wasn't a very good pick by me this time, unfortunately. So then we have the Horizon League. I picked Milwaukee.
Okay.
Oh. I believe they got knocked out in the first or the second round because they didn't make the championship game either, but they still were having a good year. Next league is the Patriot League. I picked Colgate. They did win.
They did win, yeah. Saw that.
That, and then I picked the Big South. I chose UNC Asheville. They were able to pull it out.
Yeah, that was I watched some of that game. That was actually pretty good game. They had beat them two times, in the season, and think at halftime, UNC Asheville, they were trailing at the half, and they ended up taking care of business in the second half. But I mean, it was a good game.
Hey, that's even better. The Northeast Conference, I chose Farley Dickinson. Now, the thing about this conference, I guess Merrimack just joined the conference. So because of that, with Farley Dickinson making it against them in the finals, they lost the championship game. But because Merrimack isn't eligible, they still are going to make the tournament. Because I was watching that game last night. Farley Dickinson came back. Because they were down by I want to say at least 8 or 10 with like a minute and a half, 2 minutes ago, and they, I think they lost by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's, they fought their butts off to try to come back. So that was one of the better games I've seen so far, just getting ready for the tournament. Looking at Yo Valley. Go ahead.
I said, now that's what you want, though. Like, you know, they fought their tails off. That's what you want, you know. You want to, during the regular season, of course, you know, you're playing hard, but like, when you get into tournament play, you have to raise your level of play. Because again, you know, in the, you know, you never know what could happen in any tournament. You know, one of the teams, one of the bottom teams, you know, they can get hot at, you know, at the right time. And they can possibly win. They could possibly win, you know, win their tournament, and then they get an NCAA bid or something. So that's a good point. You have to get your team to, you know, or have to get your team and keep your team playing hard when it comes to the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, the best example we're ever going to have is North Carolina State in 83 when they had to win the NCAA tournament. Or they had to win the ACC tournament to make it to the NCAA tournament. And then they made it, and they went against Florida Slam & Jam, and they won it all.
Yeah. You and every one of those, one team like that in a long time.
Yeah,
that don't happen often.
The closest one you could almost say was when it was Duke against – I'm trying to think of the team that Brad Edwards was coaching at the time when they had the chance on a final half-court shot. I think Gordon Hayward was the one who shot it. I think it was Butler. Was it Butler?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was Butler. That game –
yeah.
That game, it was still close. And if they had won, that would have been a huge upset. So that was just one when it comes to mind for nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. The Ohio Valley, I did pick Morehead State. They did not make the championship. So better luck next year for me on that. It is what it is, unfortunately. The Missouri Valley Conference, I chose Bradley. They were the runner-up, so I'm getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the WCC. I picked Gonzaga, and they were able to win last night. And Drew Timmy had a heck of a game last night.
That was a blowout. That was a blowout.
Because I know that at the beginning of the year, St. Mary's beat Gonzaga. So I guess Gonzaga's won the last two now, but still that. They were the only team I was worried about for going into the tournament for their conference. I was like, you know what? I'm not sure about them completely, but it's hard to count out Gonzaga. It really is.
It is. It really is.
So let's see. Then the next one I chose was the CAA. I picked the College of Charleston.
Okay.
Because I believe they started out the year winning 18 or 19 straight before their first loss. So, I mean, they were looking pretty strong. So I was hoping that they were going to keep on their winning ways.
Yeah, that was a safe. That was a safe, you know, safe call. I think that was a safe one.
Okay, you know what? I'll take that. I will take that any day of the week. So next conference we got is the Southern Conference. I picked Furman. They did win.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that was the Summit League. I picked Oral Roberts. And I did not watch the full game, but I was watching the beginning of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And were you able to watch any of that game last night?
No, I didn't catch any of that game.
Okay, well, that was – you were watching Gonzaga because the Gonzaga's game was at the same time?
Yep, I was on Gonzaga.
Well, in the first 5 minutes, Oral Roberts was able to hit 4 3-pointers including one of them by their 7'5" center.
Mm.
I mean, they literally were just putting their foot on the gas, and even though the game seemed like it was close at the end, it wasn't as close as it seemed. Because they were more prepared, and just the way that they looked, frankly, it's kind of scary to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that they were going to make it more of a challenge, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they blew out North Dakota State. It was 92-58. I don't try to say blowouts casually, but when you win by that much, I'm not really sure what else you can say.
That's what it is, a blowout. that's exactly what it is, a blowout.
All right, so now we're coming up to the conferences that we had UMass Lowell for the American East.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I don't believe they won their conference, but because I had written all this down, and somehow I missed this. I mean, it's not like I had 32 conference tournaments to write down or anything, right?
No, it's not like you know. You're absolutely right about it.
What we'll do is we'll skip that. We'll go to the Big Sky. I chose Eastern Washington, and they did not win, unfortunately. There's always next year, though. And, I mean, they still had a really good year, and they had been at the top of their league.
Mm.
It's like the American East. Let's see. They have not played the championship yet. So, but they are in the championship games. That's why I was making sure about that. Okay. The Southland Conference, I picked A&M Corpus Christi, and they did win. So I picked a few winners, so this isn't as bad as I thought this year. I'm thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're coming up to the ones where, other than for the WAC, I had picked Stephen F. Austin to win, and unfortunately they did not, so just means I'll have to do more studying on them next year or pick a better team, but that's okay.
A better team, yeah. I know, right? Stephen F. Austin, they are usually solid. They usually have a solid program, solid teams.
I want to say last year or 2 years ago, they were like 31-2 when they went in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, they normally have a really good solid team.
Yeah, that's why I was hoping they were going to do better, but so for the tournaments that are just starting and underway, if you want to make your pick as well, you can. For the Atlantic 10, I've got VCU as my pick.
Okay. Who VCU? Who are they playing?
They're in the Atlantic 10 conference.
Yeah, I said no. Who are you said you got them? Who is VCU playing? Or you got them winning the entire thing?
I have them winning the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm playing devil's advocate with a few of these. I mean, I have them. For the ACC, I have UVA winning it all because I think that they're going to be more of a factor in the tournament.
Really?
They had a really good year.
You got UVA winning the whole thing? Okay. Interesting. I'm going with Duke.
Okay. Hey, there's nothing wrong with Duke. That.
Okay,
if Duke wins, I won't be sad, but
I can't go with Carolina.
That's okay. Hey, I wouldn't. The other co-host who usually would be on, he is a diehard Dukie as well. So I mean, he would be in the same boat as you right now. I believe actually he did pick Duke. So let's see. In the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, I chose Iona.
Yeah, I can go with them. I'll go with Iona as well. I like, you know, Patino. He can't go wrong with him.
Yeah, even with the issues that have been going on, you can't really go against his track record.
Not at all.
And if you do, well, you better make sure you're right, because if you're not, that's exactly not one person right. I would like to make angry with that really good reason.
Oh no, you're absolutely right about that. He's a boy. He is something else. Like he's a no nonsense coach. You know, for him to come back, you know, kind of resurrect his career after he went, you know, after he went overseas and coached in Greece. That says a lot about him, though. For him to come back and still put his imprint on the game the way he has, still doing it. Like we said earlier, you know, Boeheim, you know, he retiring, and Patino, he's been there for a while too, you know, coaching for a while, and you know, he's still doing it. He's done it, you know, different levels, NBA. He's done NBA, college. He even took the overseas route as well. So it's he's done it on all levels.
Well, not only that, think about his son being a coach now as well. So I mean, so that way you're making sure that the coaching tree is going to keep going, which is even better.
Yep.
But exactly let's right. see. We'll see how that goes. The Big West Conference, I chose UC Santa Barbara.
I can go with them. I like them as well. I like them. Excuse me.
What's wrong with that? Let's see. Jumping into the Mountain West Conference, I pick San Diego State.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a reach, but.
I mean, San Diego State, they're one of those things too. You know, they normally have a pretty solid team as well. And just, you know, over the years. So I would go with San Diego State as well.
Okay. Well, you're making me feel better about some of my picks, so that's a good thing. So you know what? It means I've got a shot for a few of them. I mean, it's still going to be a little shaky, but now we have the Big East. I'm picking Marquette.
Why are you picking Marquette? You picking because it's the best team?
Yeah, I'm picking them to win it all. Like, all my picks I'm saying here, I'm picking them to win it all, win the conference tournament, so... I didn't even realize about Shaka being there, but even still with him being there, I think that just with everything he did at VCU, even though it didn't translate very well to Texas, when it's a smaller school, he always figures out a way to get it done or to motivate his players to get the best out of everything for them.
You're right about that. I can say the same thing about, you know, people, I don't know if you remember Anthony Graham when he was here at Alabama. You know, he didn't.
I recognize the name.
He was under the Billy Donovan coaching tree. He was at Florida for a while. He's at Dayton right now. But, you know, he was at VCU as well before, and then, you know, Alabama. And, you know, he didn't replicate the same success that he had, you know, with, say, smaller schools. I mean, with the bigger school, they did with the smaller schools. But, you know, he went back to Alabama. He did the NBA for like a year or so. And then he got back and he started coaching at Dayton. And, you know, he's had some solid teams over there. But, again, sometimes it's just, you know, just one of those things where the things that coaches are doing, you know, for smaller schools or, you know, mid-major schools, they don't replicate the same success as big name schools. So, I mean, you know, it kind of is what it is. It's not one of those things that you can kind of say, oh, we can feel guilty and put your finger on it, because, you know, just different coaches have different success at different places. And then some of them right. have success at all of them.
True. And I mean, if you wanted to talk about a coach who went from mid-major to a major who's doing well, mm-hmm. me and Bob, we talked about Jim Larrañaga. He went from George Mason to Miami. And I mean, he's been doing pretty well in Miami. So.
Oh, yeah. He's been doing really, really well. Yeah, they've been doing really well.
Yep. So, I mean, that's just another thing we could throw in there. But, yeah, because you don't know. Sometimes you'll see coaches that are successful in the mid-major. Then, like you said, they go up, they don't do as well. Larrañaga, mm-hmm. this year, I mean, he's been able to motivate his team. And I think they're going to be a force in the tournament. So, we'll go see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the Pac-12.
The Big East, I'm going to go. I didn't get my pick. I'm going with Xavier on that.
Go with Xavier?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's who I think Bob picked the same one as well. So in that case, great minds think alike with that. So you know what? I can't be mad at you about that.
Mm.
Let's see. The Pac-12, this is kind of a long shot, but I'm going to pick Arizona State.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I watched them a little bit the other day against Arizona. I like them, but I don't like them to win it. And then I would say UCLA. Well, UCLA, if one of their guards just went down.
Yep, I saw that.
With the injury. So you tell me, I'm gonna go Arizona.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Arizona. I just think that, you know, the loss that UCLA got, I think, it's a huge loss for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's going to be tremendous. All right. So the next one I got is the SWAC. And I picked Alcorn State.
Hmm. Okay. I rule with Alcorn State. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, they've had a pretty good year, so I think that it's until they lose, we got a good shot. So we'll see mm-hmm. what happens. For the MEAC, I picked Norfolk State.
MEAC, you picked Norfolk State?
I did.
I'm going to go. Norfolk State, they're normally decent. I'm gonna go with North Carolina Central.
Okay. Yep. They're a strong school as well, so we'll see what happens with that. Mm-hmm. Now the next conference, it's gonna be hard for you to not think about this team as the team that's going to probably win the conference, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Big Ten. I got Purdue. I'm an Ohio State fan, but Purdue, they've just been kicking butt this year, so.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. You know, Purdue they have been playing well, but and they took some a few haymakers across the gym lately as well. Mm-hmm. Indiana came in and they beat them. They beat them twice. Oh man, that's tough. But I'm still gonna go. I'm gonna roll with Purdue. I'm gonna go with them as well. I just think that even if they run up on Indiana again at some point, I think they'll definitely beat them. But I'm gonna go with them. They've been playing the most consistent basketball in the Big Ten. So, yeah, I think that's a safe bet.
Then Ivy's probably going to get – I think he's going to be a Big Ten player of the year because he's just been a force.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
The next conference we have is Conference USA. I'm picking Florida Atlantic.
Mm. I'm going UAB.
UAB? Nothing wrong with that.
Mm. With the team in the state.
And the main reason why I think about UAB is just how they resurrected their football program after what happened there, the debacle with that. Mm-hmm. But they've also been a very good basketball school, too. So that's definitely a strong pick.
Yeah, Coach Kennedy got them playing really, really well.
I mean, that's part of the reason why we love the tournament this time of the year, because we're going to see who's going to be able to show up and do well and who doesn't always rise to the occasion. Although, the next Big 12, I'm picking Kansas.
Mm. Oh, boy. You know, I like that's a good conference.
Mm-hmm.
I got a nephew that plays with the team. He's been
in contention at one point or another.
Yeah. I'm going with Texas. Going with Texas. I mean, I watched both of them play over the course of the season. And Texas has been playing really well. You know, Texas and Kansas game in Allen Fieldhouse was a really good game. You know, Kansas made a few more plays in Texas. But again, you know, Texas has been playing some really, really consistent ball. I'm gonna ride with the Longhorns.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, after what happened with Chris Beard and the coach that took over, I mean, he's done a heck of a job, and hopefully at the end of the year hopefully he's just gonna can go even better. And I guess talk about Chris Beard maybe being the finalist for the Ole Miss coaching job. We'll see about that.
He's going to be there. I think it's a done deal.
Okay. Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it is what it is. And hopefully he will stay out of trouble. That's the main thing. So, but we'll wait and see about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, Irwin, now we get to come to the conference and it's near and dear to your heart. We got the SEC. And I'm going to be honest, I'm picking Alabama.
No, you got to pick somebody else. Oh, yeah. Well, you already know who I'm going to pick. Of course, it's Alabama. They've had a few little scares coming down the stretch at the end of the season, but their overall body of work of what they've done the entire season has been amazing. They've went on the road and won some big games. And then, you know, they lost a few, you know, lost to Texas A&M, you know, the last game of the season. Oklahoma beat them, you know, on the road. They didn't shoot the ball well. But again, they had some games where they didn't shoot the ball well. But they defended really well, and they were able to come out with a victory. So, that's a scary thing for scary sight for a few other teams, because again, their team, like if they're not shooting, they still can play defense. You know, we got the Brandon Miller. He's been like one of the most consistent players for us all year. SEC Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. Number three within the last 23 years. I was 02. Herb Jones came in a couple of years ago, and then now Brandon. You know, he's done it. He's the SEC Freshman of the Year. I mean, he came in and basically, you know, put Alabama on his back, and he's carried him a long way. Mm-hmm. But don't get me wrong, you know, he has some people to come along with him. I mean, Mark transferred in from Miami, and he's been playing really well for us at the point guard position. The way Clowney has been playing, no one expected him to be playing the way he's playing, but he's been a major contributor for us, and he's been a main reason why we've had so much success. He brings a different aspect to the game than Charles Bediako. Charles Bediako's 7-footer block shots, jump block shots. He can run rim run, but Clowney, you know, he can rim around. He can you can switch screens with him a lot more. He can knock down the 3-pointer. So he's been really, really good for us as well, because, you know, I think that, you know, the points and stuff that he brings and he, you know, in rebounds and he's been able to get has been vital for us, because again, you know, with us, we shoot so many 3-pointers. You gotta have somebody to rebound the basketball. And so we had rebounding. And then, like you say, he's just been a big plus for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think you're gonna probably go with Alabama as well. So I think I mean, sometimes you have good things that go on, sometimes not. But I mean, either way, you can say that Brandon Miller has definitely been the one who, sometimes when they really needed him to show up, he's been the one that's shown up. And sure, it hasn't been him all by himself, but
he's been his part. I know that.
Yes, exactly. That's the main thing. So, all right, let's jump into the MAC right now. I'm going to pick Toledo.
You got Toledo.
I got Toledo. Who do you got?
I'm going to. Oh boy. I'm gonna go Kent State.
Kent State. Even okay.
Even though I hate to say, I'm going for Kent State. Kent State beat us. They actually beat us in the NCAA tournament my junior year. So. But you know, it is what it is.
Let's see, that was that the year they made it to the Sweet 16?
I think it was. That was the year they had Antonio Gates on there.
That's right. Yeah, no, I know you don't like to think about that. I do remember that team. That was a pretty filthy team.
Well, yeah, we didn't know much about them, but man, they you know, Antonio Gates, you know, he played football. He was a for the Chargers. He was all, you know, from the high school, he was a 5-star football player, but he played basketball in college. And then not knowing, playing against him in the NCAA tournament, he was a first round pick. Tight end, I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable, yeah. Unbelievable.
And I mean, that I do remember that, and that was something. I mean, there are a few players that have been like that, but he's the one that most people will definitely think about more than others. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, we got the American Athletic Conference, and well, I picked Houston. I mean, as you want to try to pick somebody else, I mean, Houston, Kelvin Sampson's got them in the in shape to where they're going to be contenders this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Houston as well.
Okay. And the last league that we have is the Ivy League. I picked Yale.
I'm going Princeton.
You're going Princeton, okay.
I'm going Princeton, yep.
All right, that'll work. So, that way we've gone through all those. And real quick, let's see. For the teams that have made it in so far, Farley Dickinson's their 7th appearance in the tournament. The Ohio Valley was Southeast Missouri State. It's their 2nd appearance.
Mm-hmm.
UNC Asheville, it's their 5th. Missouri Valley Drake won. It's their 6th appearance. Their 2nd in 3 seasons. Kennesaw State, who won the ASUN, it's their 1st appearance since the program's become Division I.
Mm-hmm.
The Sun Belt is Louisiana Raging Cajuns. It's their 11th appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Furman won, and it's their 7th appearance, their first since 1980. So welcome back. Horizon League, Northern Kentucky won, and it's their 3rd appearance. Charleston, mm-hmm. we talked about for the CAA, it's their 6th. Gonzaga, oh. it's their 24th consecutive appearance.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive right there.
Very, very impressive.
Oral Roberts is their 7th appearance. For the Southland, Texas A&M Corpus Christi is their 3rd appearance, their 2nd consecutive. And then for the mm-hmm. Patriot Colgate, it's their 6th appearance. Apparently, their 3rd straight, 4th, and 5 seasons. That's a pretty good record to have for them for the tournament right now.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm looking at Joe Lenardi's bracketology, when I'm looking on the bubble teams right now, the last 4 buys, it says are Boise State, NC State, Pittsburgh, and Penn State. He has his last 4 in his Mississippi State, Utah State, Rutgers, and Nevada. The first 4 out he has is Oklahoma State, Wisconsin, Arizona State, and North Carolina, with his next 4 out being Michigan, Charleston, Clemson, and Oregon.
Mm.
That one for Charleston, I don't know about that one, so we'll see about that. But
well, you know, he's pretty. I mean, hey, he is. He's normally not off by much. So, so it'll be like you said. I want to see that, but he's not off by much though.
True. I mean, that's why I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes at the end of the tournament week, so we can see exactly what his final standings are. That when we see it
mm-hmm.
on Selection yep. Sunday, that's going to be. I'm curious to see how he does there, because yeah, him and Andy Katz, they both. I like looking at both of their how they make the tournament, how they make their brackets, because like you said, they've got a pretty good rate on him. So.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, let's go through the AP top 25. We got Houston at number 1, 29 and 2. UCLA is number 2, 27 and 4. Kansas is number 3 at 25 and 6. Mm-hmm. Alabama, we got number 4 at 26 and 5. Purdue's number 5, 26 and 5. Marquette's number 6 at 25 and 6. Texas is number 7 at 23 and 8. Arizona's number 8 at 25 and 6. Gonzaga's number 9 at 26 and 5. Baylor's number 10 at 22 and 9. UConn's number 11 at 24 and 7. Kansas State is number 12 with a record of 23 and 8. UVA's number 13 with a record of 23 and 6. Miami is number 14 with a record of 24 and 6. Xavier's number 15 with a record of 23 and 8. St. Mary's is number 16 with a record of 25 and 6. Tennessee is number 17 with a record of 22 and 9. Texas A&M is number 18 with a record of 23 and 8. Indiana's number 19 with a record of 21 and 10. San Diego State is number 20 with a record of 24 and 6. Duke is number 21 with a record of 23 and 8. TCU is number 2 with a record of 20 and 11. Kentucky is number 23 with a record of 21 and 10. Creighton is number 4 with a record of 20 and 11. And Missouri rounds out the top 25 with a record of 23 and 8.
Hmm. There's a lot of teams in there with 23, 24, 22 wins, 26 wins. There's a lot mm-hmm. of teams. Definitely teams play a lot of games. There's a lot of teams that are made up on a lot of games. Like you said, Houston 29 and 2, and then you just skip down. You go to Alabama, Purdue, they're 26 and 5, Kansas 25 and 6, Marquette 25 and 6, Arizona 25 and 6, and Gonzaga 26 and 5. So that's a lot of team, you know, hanging around at 26, 27, you know. Game 26, 27 games won. So there's a lot, man. It says a lot about how, you know, how I guess, you know, some how the talent pool has been spread out around, you know, around the country with different programs.
Absolutely. And well, that about wraps up for men's basketball, but today's International Women's Day. And so speaking of that, we do need to make sure we talk about women's basketball. And as we do so, we have to mention about the top team in the land, the South Carolina Gamecocks, and what a heck of a job Dawn Staley has done since she took over there after being at UVA.
Amazing job. Just consistently, they've been playing consistently over the course of the season, night in and night out. You know, her recruiting, bringing in top recruits, and not only just bringing in top recruits, but bringing in top recruits that are actually producing and doing things to help the team win. Man, she's doing an awesome job there.
Exactly. And I mean, as we see about lots of other women who are doing great, great things as well, not only as college coaches, but just with everyday life as well. I just figured highlighting her because, I mean, right now, South Carolina, they're undefeated. And even though they've had a few somewhat close games, it's going to be hard to see anybody beat them. I really think that they should be able to run the table this year. I mean, they're probably who I'm going to pick.
Yeah, it'll be. I mean, I think they got what it takes. I watched them a few times. I think the one thing that they don't do as well now that they make up for it, I don't think they really shoot the ball that well from deep. But they have a lot of people, a lot of bigs around the basket that can get stuff done, and I think that kind of makes up for it. And you know, their defense, the way they play defense as well. So I agree with you. I think they will repeat. I think it'll be a little bit harder, but I do think they will repeat though.
Yeah, I mean, Aaliyah Boston, she's been having a lot of great games, and one of the things was for her, like when we talked about you and me, the LSU and South Carolina game. When I was watching that game, every time LSU was trying to get an offensive rebound, they couldn't. South Carolina already had the rebound and already had the ball going up to half court. I mean, I think they only got, I don't even think they got 10 offensive rebounds because the way South Carolina was playing defense, they just owned all around the rim. It wasn't even close.
They really did. They really did.
And the reason why I bring up that game was because that was a game between two undefeateds where you thought it was going to be a true grudge match. And instead, South Carolina just said, just go ahead and back up. You're not ready for us yet. So we're going to see how it is. And not only in the SEC tournament, well, we couldn't see in the tournament, sadly, but we'll see how it goes for the NCAA tournament. Because if they do make it to the Final Four together, that could definitely be another great matchup one more time.
Classic.
So, real quick, looking at the women bracketology, I see that the last four byes, it has Alabama, Illinois, Kansas, Mississippi State. The last four in, they have Miami, Marquette, Purdue, and Princeton. The first four out, they have St. John's, West Virginia, Oregon, and Arkansas. And the next four out, they have Syracuse, Nebraska, Kansas State, and Washington. So, I mean, I like how they have that right now, but you know as well as I do, within the next week, things are going to change a whole lot. So, it's just going to
change
in time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like how they already have it set up as a few guesses, but I want to see how it ends up completely. So, let's real quick go through the top 25, and like I said, we have South Carolina undefeated at 32-0 is number one. Iowa number two. They actually won the Big Ten. Caitlin Clark, she was able to get. She had, I don't know if you saw her stat line, but she had over 30 points and she had a triple double.
Mm-hmm. I did.
And they played in one. And she's done that two or three times.
Because Ohio, they played against Ohio State.
Yep.
My Washington's a good game.
And the way that Caitlin Clark's been playing, I believe this is her final year there, and she's been taking out, going out of her career on a high note. But they've definitely been the team to beat this whole year in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
So they're number two at 26-6. We have Indiana at number three at 27-3. Virginia Tech is number four at 27-4. Stanford is number five at 28-5. Maryland is number six at 25-6. UConn is number seven at 28-5. Utah is number eight with a record of 25-4. LSU is number nine with 28-2. Villanova's number 10 with a record of 28-5. Notre Dame's number 11 with a record of 25-5. Ohio State is number 12 with a record of 25-7. Duke is number 13 with a record of 25-6. Oklahoma's number 14 with a record of 24-5. Texas is number 15 with a record of 23-8. Gonzaga's number 16 with a record of 27-3. UCLA is number 17 with a record of 25-9. Michigan is number 18 with a record of 22-9. North Carolina is number 19 with a record of 21-10. Colorado is number 20 with a record of 23-8. UNLV is number 21 with a record of 28-2. Washington State is number 22 with a record of 23-10. Tennessee is number 23 with a record of 23-11. Arizona is number 24 with a record of 21-9. And Middle Tennessee State rounds out the top 25 with a record of 25-4. And real quick, I was wondering, when's the last time you remember UConn losing five games in a year?
Ooh, man. A long time. Like, you don't talk about. Like we were talking about a few minutes ago, before we came on live, how, you know, when you talk about Tennessee, like Tennessee is one of those things when you talk about Tennessee women's basketball, like they were the team that everybody wanted to beat or everybody wanted to beat. And then it's the same thing with UConn. Like it was UConn. Either UConn or either Tennessee, they were the teams that they were, you know, kind of going, you know, back and forth for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then now you have, you know, you got South Carolina. You know, they're the team now that everybody wants to be like, or everybody wants, they're the standard. Like you said, UConn, you're not used to them. When you have UConn losing a game, you're like, UConn. UConn was just, they were just so dominant. You know, they had players, they were getting top players year after year after year after year, and they was able to put it together year after year after year. And, you know, when you have that, you know, that speaks volume of a coach being able to get their players on the same page. When you have a roster change or turnover in your roster, you know, the way they do. So, but again, like you said, UConn having five losses—that's that's almost like unheard of.
Exactly. The other thing that's kind of different for UConn, remember Paige Beckers tore her ACL before the year started, so that and then Aziz Fudd, she's been dealing with injuries off and on the whole year. The other thing is UConn had to forfeit one game because they didn't even have enough players. So that was one of the losses, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how GRM has lost five games in a year for once, after you would see them lose maybe two or three games per year, I'd say the last 7 or 8 years at least, just with the high caliber players he's had. I mean, ever since, so we could even go as far back as Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, where they would only, I think they only lost like maybe two or three games every year. So, I mean, just seeing how that's been, now watching it this year, I definitely think it's going to be a rebuilding year for him. But even still, he was able to escape it with only five losses and still win over 20 games, which that's pretty impressive. So, Erwin, I appreciate your time. And if we were going to try to get a hold of you on social media, how would we do so?
Man, I tell you, I mean, I'm on social media, but I'm not on there. I'm one of those people that, you know, with social media, you have to kind of, you know, that's not the first thing that, you know, social media is not one of the first things that, you know, that comes to mind with me about posting. But on Facebook, I'm Erwin Dudley. And then on Instagram, I'm Erwin_Dudley35. And then I forgot my Twitter handle. But yeah, but those are my two main ones, Facebook and Instagram.
I do understand only for the fact that I rejoined Twitter this last year, and I only hadn't been off in 10 years, so it wasn't like I was off for a long time or anything. So
I know, right?
Yep, no, I'm starting to. I've made one post since I've been back. I'm working on making another post pretty soon, so it's going to happen. And you can see that under Alan F. West, or on Instagram, you could always find me at alan.west.46. But, well, Erwin, I appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll be able to have you on again. And we'll either see about, depending on your schedule, maybe we can try and see about either close to the Sweet 16, maybe closer to the Elite Eight, so we can just see about how you think about which picks and who you like getting closer to the end. How's that sound?
Okay. Sounds great.
That'd be great. Hey, thank you for coming on again. And you can always find us on the sportscast.com or go on Twitter, the Sportscast 1. This has been Al West. That's Erwin Dudley. This is the Top 25 Rundown. Thanks so much. Have a great night, everybody.
Thanks.